When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Hannah, aka Hannah Films. Hello.
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Hi.
Yeah, we're super excited. I've been a fan of your beautiful work for a while now, so can't wait to chat about that. But before we do, do you mind giving us and our listeners who may not know you, like a background in who you are and how you got into photography?
Yes, most definitely. I feel like this is the first time I'm ever like speaking to like followers. And they're probably like, oh, that's how Hannah sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Okay, but hi, I'm Hannah. I live in SoCal, Southern California, born, raised here all of my life. Wow. I love it. I thank my parents every day for picking California to have.
Wow.
It's, yeah, amazing. So I, like a lot of people, got into film photography during the lockdown. Prior to this, I had no knowledge of film, no knowledge of film photography even existing. Yeah, I'm serious. I grew up in like, I'm a 90s, 98 baby. So digital era, internet boom and everything. So I didn't know anything about film photography, but I went into it because, oh man, I'm so susceptible to trends. And it was so trendy at that time. I'd go to like a little get together and then I'd see a little point and shoot, the disposable cameras. And I'm like, what is that? And then they're like, oh, let me take a quick picture. You click. And then they would do like the wine, squeak, 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 squeak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is okay, not practical. I want to see how I look like right now. I mean,
you should have seen our prom. That's all it was.
Yeah. I know. So, I mean, fast forward, I was so curious. It was trendy. I mean, I got the photos back from my friends and they looked so good. I mean, you can't put a VSCO filter for that. I mean, you can't.
Nope.
I can't edit for that. I can't. So I was like, let's do this thing. And thing about me is like, when I'm curious about thing, I research the heck out of it because I'm like, let's see how far I want to get into this hobby. Like, let's see. So I hopped on to YouTube. I typed up like, oh, best film photography camera or something like that, whatever. Mm. And then your classics came up, like Willem, like Joe Greer. Yeah. And then I saw like, you know, or negative feedback or something like that. And then I saw like the Olympus. stylist. It was like the go-to. And at that time, it was attainable at like $5 to $80. I got mine for like $70 on eBay. And I was so fortunate that there are two local film labs in Irvine at that time. I went to Goodman Film Lab and they took such good care of me. I researched that too. I went online and was like, best film lab. And so because I got such amazing photos back, and it was like so much crispier, better quality than like my friend's disposables. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Exactly. And I'm so, so fortunate. I researched camera. It was very sharp itself. The film lab I went to, amazing quality that they put out. So I was hooked. Like from that point, I wow. was like, I'm going deep into this. I love it. The pandemic, I mean, no one was available to hang out. And photography, you can do it alone all the time. Mm-hmm. Like thank goodness. I mean, California, right? So a lot of people were staying home and isolating. But I was on the freeway. Like it was so empty, so clear.
Drove
to like the beaches. I drove to so many different little beaches. And I mean, at that time I was also a college student. So I had time on my hands. I had time to explore this hobby 100%. So I did that. And then it's like a whole trend. And then a year in, I was like, I want to spice it up. So then I got into medium format. And then you guys can probably guess like which cameras I saw people using. And it was the Mamiya 7. And that thing is my baby. I love it. It's amazing for hikes and traveling. And I think it's just given me like a whole new perspective on the world. I think just being so happy going outside, seeing the world differently. Who would have thought? I mean, the pandemic was an unfortunate thing, but I gained so much.
We hear that like a lot, like not even just with photography, like people's whole trajectory of kind of like whether they work from home and like, I'm going to go start my own business. Like, if anything good has come out of it, I think stuff like that really, you know, I love hearing your story. Cause like someone like me, I learned on film cause that's all there was when I started photography. So to like hear your story and other people's story where like, I didn't know because it was not part of my childhood or anything. And to like have like the one disposable and then like your whole brain opens up and you're like dive deep into it. And like, you know, like having that experience of like, being able to like discover it for the first time and like go down all these rabbit holes must have been like so exciting on top of it, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, so yeah, that's a bit how I got into film photography, found so many amazing friendships along the way. And then now I'm talking to you guys. I mean, that's just a testament to like, you know, internet. Go internet.
love it. Love it.
So was photography like not so much film, but was photography a thing for you? Were you just
good question.
You know, were you into the digital stuff? Was it like a phone thing? Was photography just a thing at all for you? Or
Good question. So growing up, I wasn't around film cameras or whatever. My dad didn't use that. I mean, growing up, he was the guy. My friends knew him as like the dad who would always document everything.
Love that.
I think growing up it was like a camera every year because he got the most use out of every single little camera. I think it was the Nikon Coolpix cameras, something like that. All the time. But because of that, he gave me like this curiosity about photography. Just looking back on these moments, I have so many pictures growing up, and I'm very fortunate that he, took all those pictures. So it was always a part of me growing up, my childhood. I didn't get into photography until high school. I got, it's so funny. Oh my gosh. So I got like a Sony A6000, but how I got it was I was just on like one of those dating apps and I was just like browsing. Or no, this wasn't high school. This was like, this was actually like college. Yeah, college. So I was just on those dating apps and I was just like browsing. I saw this guy's photography and it was like the cityscape, the skyline of downtown LA. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. And I was just more enamored with his pictures rather than him. But I was just like talking to him about like tips, tricks, what camera I should get. And he was like, you know what? I think you should get a Sony A6000. And then, you know, I already talked about it, but you know me, when I want to get into something, I'm going to research a lot. And he was right. I mean, the Sony A6000, really compact, small, tracks a punch, so light. It's a mirrorless camera. So that's how I got into it. And I mean, back in that time, I think people were more about like chasing the high of like digital photography. We're talking about like the skyline shots, going up to helipads on top of skyscrapers in downtown LA, trespassing those, getting those.
I remember
like,
those days. You know,
yeah, exactly. Right? And then people will edit their pictures with the teal, orange. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I had the Sony too. So
with their like legs dangling off the building and all that.
Yes, yikes. Yes.
Not me.
So I was chasing that too, though, because I was like, that's what people were doing. I was inspired. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to get into it because I saw those pictures. So I did that for, I was doing that type of stuff for like a couple years, maybe, a couple years. I didn't really find much community there in the in the digital community. I mean, my experience, because people are trying to get and attain the best possible pictures in the best possible destinations. And then it becomes sort of like, you know, clicky and gatekeepy. And it's like, oh, well, you know, because, I mean, people can edit their pictures really well. But I mean, if you have an amazing like view, it makes it like even like 100 times better, you know?
Makes it a little easier when you got
Exactly. So that was my start with photography. Did that for a couple of years. I fell out of it. Just life got in the way. I was in college and it was a lot of time. And then I just got bored of it, sold my cameras, and I didn't do photography until like pandemic 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
5 years. 5 years, I didn't even do anything. Just the iPhone. Yeah.
Dang.
I wanted to ask you about your style specifically, because I feel when I look at your photos, it's like screams California, but I'm like, I want to live in your Instagram. Like, that's where I want to be.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Is that like, are you somebody who takes your camera everywhere and is like, or do you go out with like a certain aesthetic that you're trying to capture? Like, talk us through your everyday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Great questions, guys.
Thank you.
I guess I can, I mean, now my style is just kind of like what I see cool, I'll take a picture of, but it's kind of like, it's been defined over time. It's been refined over time. Mm-hmm. I didn't have this sort of eye on like day one, not even day 365. It's been refined over time. So I kind of, it's hard to describe it. I just take a picture of what I like.
Right.
But taking you guys back to like day one, I was so inspired by like old America, just motel vintage signs. I saw all of the videos Kyle McDougall would do. Right. You guys
love
know.
Kyle.
Beautiful.
And what was that route called?
Route 66? 60,
oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Route 66. I didn't get the first number right.
That's all right.
It's been a bit. 2020. But I was so inspired by that. And so I was like, okay, I mean, I don't have time. This is pandemic. And, you know, I'm only going to local spots. And so what I was drawn to in the very beginning was always color and like motel signs. Motel signs had a lot of character color to them. And so I remember I'd go to Costa Mesa. There's like five blocks of motels and they're these very old, hip looking motels. and they would have such cool signs. And if you guys scroll back to the very beginning of my Instagram page, you guys are going to see like a couple of those motel signs I'm talking about. And then I got the scans back, and then I would kind of compare against like, oh, man, like this composition kind of falls flat. But I liked the next picture where I took it from this, where I framed it like this. And then I looked at like my inspirations, like Kyle, and I'm like, oh, like he did it kind of like this. It's kind of like, and then I was also figuring out like metering, how much.
Yeah.
It was like a whole learning curve. It was like the first, like, honestly, I fell in love with the picture quality and everything for the good shots. But man, did I feel so defeated by like bad shots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Part of it sucks.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, if I'm going to do something, a hobby or something, I research, right? Like I'm going in. And so it was just like, I was, throughout this whole entire period, it was like motel signs. And then I went to Burbank, and then there's just so many motels there. There's like the safari one, right? That everyone takes a picture of. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that just got me out of the house a lot. And then I dipped my toes into landscape. And I think that's like the majority of what I shoot now, because I focus on compositions and I'm like, okay, this works. This doesn't work. I'm still keeping an eye out for color. So, oh man, my friends make fun of me all the time, but it's just like, I can't do black and white yet. I don't know. I love color. It's been like way too many years, and I think it gives me a lot of joy. And I'm like, oh, this is what I saw back then, and this is what I remember to look like. That's evolved throughout the years, and I think just that was me mastering just a point and shoot. That was just a point and shoot. My contacts team 2 was the next one. And then after the Olympus stylist, then Context T2. And then from that, I jumped to the Mamiya 7 that I mentioned, right? And that's like a whole nother like ballpark, because I'm actually having to meter now. Like, I can't just, self-press the shutter and focus, right? I have to work for the shot.
Yep.
So that was another thing. And that really like took my process like really like a step back. It made me really appreciate everything about analog photography. And by doing that, like I found that the more time that I spent focusing on a composition, like I'm thinking of an idea, I'm like posted up at the spot, I want this light to be hitting a certain person, but there's no person in sight, then I'm like, I'm gonna wait for that shot. It's just something that throughout like all the photo trips I've been on, and like what I've received in my scans, and I'm like, it's more of this, please. So I will wait for like 30 minutes for a shot. I have no shame in that. Especially with medium format. I mean, you only get 10 shots. Oh my gosh.
It sounds to me like you need to get into large format photography.
Oh, yeah, that's the next jump.
I might need to sell a lot of clothing and a lot of my material possessions for that.
Yeah. You're right.
Oh my gosh. So I think it's just medium format really took my compositions and my eye and what I like and look out for. Like bounds and leaps forward. And so, TLDR, I look for colors. Colors, right moment, right time. People think that sometimes it's luck. It's really, sometimes it's not luck. I'm really working for it.
What's crazy is it seems like you're like, well, because I was like, is she just like in the right place at the right time always? But I love that, like, you know, we have to remember there's like location scouting, and then there's like a lot of patience. And thinking about like, okay, really understanding composition and like figuring that out first. So it's like all those things we forget about or think about. And I think that's really great advice for like our listeners who are maybe just starting out. You're not going to be fire the first time around.
Yeah.
Figuring out what you like is important.
Exactly. And it's what people have given me advice on too. They're like, figure out what you like, what you don't like. Because as I told you guys, jumping from the T2 to the Linea 7, it was a leap. And so I actually I mean, I touched on this earlier, but I found a lot of friends in this community, and this community really helps me fall in love with film even more because it gave me so much advice. And I reached out to Miranda Jane Photo. That's her username on Instagram. But she, oh my gosh, like starting out, she was my inspiration for, she yeah. still is, but she is a Mamiya 7 wizard. Every shot, I was like, how? Why are my shots not like yours? I bought the camera. Right. I spent $3,000 on this camera. Why are my shots not working out? And then, oh my gosh, I screenshot her replies. I still have it to this day, but she gave me paragraphs of advice and just talking about metering and what she looks out for. And yeah, it really opened my eyes. I took her advice.
That's amazing. What an angel right there.
Oh, yeah, I love angel, it so I know, much. Right?
And yeah. That is so great.
I know, exactly. So yes, it's really, to the listeners, I mean, looking at my feed, it's pretty, right? It's amazing. It's like, is this really even on film? Like this right moment, right place, right time?
Yeah.
But it's really like years of like, wow. Just figuring out what I like, what I don't like. So many failed shots, failed roles, like undeveloped roles. Mm-hmm. It's come to that. Yeah, for sure. And I archived a lot of pictures too. So yeah, I don't see that.
Yeah.
But it's like up to what I like now. It's like, oh, I'm happy with these shots that I have on my feed. So yeah, great question.
When you go out to shoot, are you going out in like groups? Or are you just kind of hopping in your car and like solo? Because I personally like to go by myself. Like I like to be not that I'm like fighting for a shot with other people, but I feel like I get way more done when I'm by myself. Yes, I'm way more focused. Ooh, what's your process?
Yeah, for sure. It's a mix of both. I definitely if I do want to get more done and I have like this vision and I've been thinking about this shot or this place for like a long time, I don't really want to think about logistics of like what time to meet up or like, you can't do this day, but I can do this day. Then it's just, you know, I'm waiting around. I'm dying to get the shot. It's really when I have something that I want to do, like bucket list that I'll be solo by myself. And sometimes it's therapeutic. I started this during the pandemic. I didn't have a person to talk to, hang out with while I was shooting. I was zoned in. This was when I was, so it's very therapeutic, but I met a lot of friends along the way. And that's when I do like group meetups because it's like, I don't know how I met so many people, but oh my gosh, thank you the internet and whatever. But
It's wild.
That's when I meet up with these people, make new friends, get inspiration, and so it's like a mix of both. If I want to socialize, I would love to. If you reach out, I'm down to meet up wherever, whenever. But it's a mix of both.
Not to say that not shooting with people is bad or something. I wasn't trying to be like, hanging out with people's terrible. But no, I get in those moods, I'm always curious. Always curious of like, do you just, you know, you get an idea, you hop in your car, you know, you're out. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yes, during photo walks, it's so easy to get distracted. Oh my gosh. I think when I come back from a photo walk, I take like 5 pictures, tops.
Yeah, yep. I don't shoot on photo walks at all. Like I'm just hanging out with my friends.
Exactly. It's not like I don't want to shoot. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't multitask. You either get my attention or I'm 100% shooting photos. I can't do both. Especially with film being like pricey. Every shot is counting. So yes.
So I wanted to ask, do you have any like plans to, because I asked if you had a website and you don't have anything yet. Are you going to like expand this like little,
I don't
want to call it a hobby, but you know, do you plan on doing, is there any more avenues you want to try? Like have a website or a blog or like a YouTube channel or?
Oh man. Yeah. I've thought about this. Trust me, guys. But I think just life gets in the way of basically converting this hobby into something like that more real, concrete, and whatever. I also get this question all the time. It's like, oh, would you ever do photography for your full-time job? And I say, you know, I would like to, but I am also kind of realistic with myself in that, like, this is a hobby that I found, that I find therapeutic. And it's like my escape away from kind of reality, my daily life. And so if I were to personally, like, attach a dollar sign to it, and like, that's my means to live, but food on the table and whatever, then it takes away from the joy. But, you know, I have done like some gigs, some casual ones, like part-time ones, and I'm very open to it. It's like, you know, if someone reaches out to me, they like my stuff and they would like to hire me, yeah, I'll be down. Yeah. But funny story. So I sold, so I have a Mamiya 7 too. I really like the black color, and I like the polarizer or whatever, the blue thing. I'm not very technical, guys, but I upgraded it because of that very material, I know. But I sold it to like a pretty known DJ on Facebook Marketplace, and I thought that was like a fake account or something, like a catfish. And I verified that it wasn't, because he added me on his like real Instagram with blue check mark and everything, hundreds and thousands of followers. I was like, oh my gosh, wow, he's real. And so he also was like, hey, I'm also I'm also going to be performing Palm Springs this time. I would love to have you on board. And I was like, okay, I'm selling you my camera and making money. Okay, I mean, why not? And I listened to him too. So I wasn't going to say no, but you know, my imposter syndrome did kind of like kick in.
Sure.
I was leaning towards yes, but I think 40% of me was like leaning towards no, because it was a stage. It was hundreds of people. It's just,
right.
I've done photography for like my friends' graduations, like you know, casual stuff, but never anything of that stage. So I did end up going. It was so fun. He was so nice. I got my money, so that's good. And he was like, hey, by the way, 2 weeks later, I'm going to come back for a festival. I'm performing at festival. This isn't a concert. Whoa. This is a festival. And so I was like, hey, I met you. I like you. Let's do it. So that was my second like big gig, just like that.
Wow.
It's just
very cool.
Yeah. So I don't say no to these things. It's so fun. You know, I mean, the festival thing, it was insane. An insane amount of people. I mean, it was like the type of festival where it's like a multi-day festival, and people were paying like hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to get in.
Yeah.
So what did you shoot those on? Did you use the Mamiya?
I used the Fuji GA645 on.
Wow.
Because he was like, oh, I like a mix of like digital and sound, because for performers, they like to have the photos on their feed immediately. All right. Just be like, hey, thank you so much for showing out, guys. Post it up to the stories right away. Something like that. Right. So I also had a digital camera with me, just to shoot like long, far away, but like close up, and just me knowing that like the shoot is gonna be okay, but just for like the film aesthetic, for the film side of things. And he likes film a lot. I have the Fuji because it's like no frills. It's just easy, compact, lightweight.
It's so funny how like rant gigs come about. And you're like, what? I just wanted to sell you whatever, you know, like, sure, you know?
I know, right? I know. Yeah.
Crazy.
So yes, I probably won't turn it into something more concrete, but I'm taking it day by day. I mean, I say no now, but never say never.
we'll see where this goes.
You know, like, never say never. Yeah, I'm seeing where it goes. So I'm having fun with it. Yeah.
Amazing.
Man, I relate so hard to that side of your story, just because I'm sure the listeners are totally sick of hearing me say that, like, I'm not, I use it for therapy as well. Like when I do photography, it's to get my head right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there and just like blow off steam. I mean, I work a full-time job. Not photography. So like, it's just nice to keep it. And don't get me wrong. Like, same as you, if somebody's like, hey, man, we could really use headshots for this. Or, do you mind shooting at our wedding a little bit? And it's like, of course. But the second you kind of, I feel like you put a price tag on, unless it's like people are hiring you for your eye.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, like what Chris does, you know, you're doing like set photography. It's so specific. It's, it's creative, but you're also just kind of like capturing it's, you're not like, okay, guys, go over here and stand here and do this.
Well,
and
sometimes.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Props
yeah,
to you, I don't though. Really.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Thank you.
I just don't think I could do something like that. Yeah. I think I need it to be more, you know, walking for 2 miles, taking pictures of cool things or doing, you know, just more stuff for me.
For sure.
I'm one of the lucky ones that like it's my job, but it's also my therapy too. And obviously I'm like doing this, you know, this podcast and you know, the YouTube and stuff like that. So it's like I had a joke that I have that the shirt from Photogenic Supply that's like photography ested in like 17 whatever year photography, and I went to a coffee shop with that sweatshirt on and my Leica, and a guy was like, "Wow!" And I was like, "Yeah, I know. It's my whole personality. Okay, like, just like, leave me alone.
Come on, there could be a lot of more like terrible personalities to pick."
I was like, "I look. This must be ridiculous."
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it's like we love it. So it's like, I mean, we can't, you can't ask, to me, like what you guys are speaking on about, like it like fills that spot in our soul. You know what I mean? Like I can't, and I think about people who don't have hobbies, like whatever it is, whether it's music or cars or knitting, whatever, to think about like, what are you into? And somebody's like, I don't really know. Like not having that thing that like fills your cup is like, I can't imagine, you know?
Yes, and it's funny you talk about that, because I mean, it's not like I hit it on like the first try. This was like my third, fourth, fifth hobby during the pandemic. I tried out, like, you know, everyone was also they were being plant moms or plant dads or whatever.
Yeah,
and they had like
bread,
Instagram
making bread
and everything, making bread, being air fryer chefs, like hacks and everything, being like clothing influencers, fashion or like beauty, nails. I was like, oh my gosh, so many things I'm intrigued on. And so I chose plants. Oh my gosh, I don't have a great thumb. It was disastrous. It was like the succulents I had were on its last leg. It's a desert plant.
That's so hard.
Yep.
I just like gave all the plants I ended up buying to my dad, who has amazing green thumb. Because I was like, like
they're all like thriving now.
Yeah, they're all thriving. They like they're roping around the house and everything. You're like, I'm like, Dad, you gave me like the interest with photography. How come this green thumb wasn't? I didn't inherit that. But
if I had a dollar for how many plants I've killed.
Oh my god. You're gonna get another Leica. But yeah, very thankful I found this hobby. Cooking didn't work out for me either. I leave that to my parents.
I still say, like, no matter, you know, how tragic and terrible the whole pandemic thing was, it really did give people the chance to kind of try dancing, trying plant. You know, parenting, trying photography, trying tennis, you know, it's just like one of those things where it's a real shame that life is the way it is, that, you know, it's got to be so like we're working, we're dying. Like it's a shame we just don't have more time. I mean, we do when we're kids, but our brains are barely developed to figure anything out.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Right then. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. No, I do get up. I do get caught up in that like hustle culture for sure. I do have a full-time job and it's in finance, something very, very stable. And I chose that because it's kind of like you're 18. You're like what high school? When was that?
I don't know.
Yeah. 17, 18,
like 18.
And then you're like 18. You're like, hey, choose something. Choose a major for college. And it's just like my brain has barely developed. I mean, like now you're gonna say like, hey, choose something that's probably gonna be for the rest of your life. I mean, I don't have like $1 million that I could choose like a major each year and try it out and then restart school over and over. So I just chose something very practical and that I knew that I could get like a stable income and everything. But yeah, I mean, it grounds, so it's photography does very much ground me. And it reminds me, you know, like, I mean, you guys heard this all the time. I mean, analog photography in like specifically, it makes you slow down, makes you appreciate, you're contributing. Totally. I mean, I send my film off to like a lab, but you're basically creating what you see every step of it. Kind of so tangible to holding a negative. I could geek out, I mean, forever about the process.
Yeah.
But oh yes. And living in America too. Oh my gosh. I feel like what are we saving up money for?
I know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that hustle culture is killing me. But thank goodness for film. and the people that I've met, I've touched on this here and there, but I mean, I think when I first started off, I mean, you get the rush. You get the adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a decent following now, but like when you're first starting out and you get all those likes, all those red hearts and whatever they're racking up, all
feels good.
It feels good, right? It feels good. But then when you don't get it, I mean, when I didn't get a lot of it, then, you know, it does affect me. And then,
it does.
And, you know, to the people who say it doesn't, I mean, come on. When you first start out, you do feel like, ah, man. And then you start doubting. I mean, I started doubting myself, like, was it even a good picture? And then, then you know, I matured. And then I'm seeing that, like, what I value most, it's this community. It's not so much now, I mean, you know, that I've set my thoughts and everything, that, you know, I'm shooting for myself, not for Instagram, not for that pesky algorithm. It's really like my friends leaving the comments. They're hyping me up. Same friends who are inspiring me to shoot, go out, you know, like, you know, you're burnt out. Come on, just go outside. You're not having it in you. Like stuff like that. Yeah. And then, you know, I went to a commuter college, and so a lot of people in classes, I mean, I tried making friends in clubs and everything, but when you're in a commuter school, people go back to their homes and they're not really hanging around on campus.
Oh, yeah.
And
And
I didn't graduate until 2022. So half of my college experience was also during the pandemic. And so it's really this community that I've met. That I'm so thankful for. I've gained so many friends that I'm so close to. And it's like, the likes, the views, whatever, they're not very important at all. And it's just like, at the end of the day, I can walk away. I mean, one day I might fall out of photography in itself and everything, but I can walk away with some amazing, amazing friendships that I've met.
Aww.
And I don't know. I don't know how long Instagram's going to last either. So, for sure.
That's why I was that could be like a good reason for you to maybe branch out, maybe whether you're going to do a website or a blog or like maybe have you thought about doing a show or a book or anything like that?
It's been on my mind, like a little zine, a little fun zine.
Just
for myself to really look back on my adventures and everything, and just having something tangible in my hand, flipping through my work. I think that's really cool. I mean, I just have to sit down and really do it. I have to really sit down and just do it. It's all on the table. I'm not I'm very open to everything. So maybe, who knows, after this podcast, I'm going to sit down, get a website going.
There you go.
On the side, on my second screen, I'll get a zine going too. So third monitor, my YouTube.
There you go. All of it. We want all of it, Hannah, from you.
Yeah. 2024. It's a new start.
It's your year.
Right.
Yeah, it's my year.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Man, it's just, and it's good. I was going to say, it's good to see too that, I mean, you do have a relatively decent following on Instagram.
Yeah.
Some people would you know, kill for something like that. And just to have you being like, ah, it's just cool. I'm here for the friends. Like, it's not,
oh, yeah,
you know,
because
that stuff can really, really bum you out. I mean, I feel like we've talked about it before of like, you know, I needed to hit like a certain amount of likes or hearts on Instagram or I would delete that stuff, man. I'd be like, like, it's got to be cool.
Too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, then I think about like, what would it be like if I had a million likes every photo and no one comments on my stuff? And posting it out to the void. It's just I'm just like, it's my photos. I'm taking photos for myself, but at the same time, it's like, oof, where's that community that I was so drawn to? And you know, the reason why I fell deeper into analog photography. So yes, you heard it from me, guys. Yes,
you heard it first.
You heard it here.
We'll be right back with listener question for Hannah right after this message from our sponsor.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only develop and hang nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We develop some film. We talk shop. We laugh. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show.
All right, guys, this is part of the show where we break off and take a question for our listener. And this week's question comes from 35.eyes, Joshua Timko. Hey, buddy. And he wanted to know, how much of what you do is training your eye to see beauty in the boring versus pure instinct? This is a good one.
Deep. Yeah, deep. No, thank you so much, Josh. I mean, you are racking my head here. Oh, wow. Okay. So how much of that do I do is training my eye to see beauty in the boring? I'll answer that first. So I talked about it during the podcast, and it was a lot of that time. I've been shooting film for now 3 years, but I would say I think 2 years of the 3 years is just me training my eye to see beauty in the boring. It's really... I was looking out for compositions that I liked versus what I didn't like. I was looking out for, how did I expose this? How did I meter this? A lot of technical things that I had to master and feel comfortable with to then work on my compositions, my framing, my confidence with photography. And a lot of those shots, they were boring, but it's kind of like how I approached it or approached that scene that just makes it work. That makes it work out for sure. And I say 2 out of 3 years just because like that was like kind of like my focus. Just, you know, it's easy. It's a lot easier to have an amazing scene and all you have to do is just be there and take a photo like head on, straight on, and it will turn out well. But it's really, like you said, like training my eyes to see the beauty in the boring is what takes it up a notch, leagues
next
forward.
Level.
Yeah. Yep. Next level.
Right.
And so I think that goes kind of into like peer instincts because I'm been training my eye, seeing the beauty in the boring, I kind of know what to look out for. So it gives me this, like, this peer, my peer instincts of saying that, like, I'm going to stake out here and I'm going to wait for my shot and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also those times where I do show up to a place and, you know, it's an amazing, amazing location. And my instinct is, you know, colors, framing, check. All right. Mm. Instincts, check. So I think it kind of goes hand in hand. But yeah, amazing question. Amazing question.
That's good,
man. I really
That's
like
that. That's a good
answer.
Yeah. It just to kick back on like what you were saying about when you first got into photography, like, yeah, those pictures of you, like, you know, illegally on a roof, like taking shots of stuff is so jarring because we never got to see stuff like that unless it was like National Geographic. You know what I mean?
But
when it turned into just like the normal dude just climbing the building, doing the photo, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, of course you will get, you know, beauty out of something that's so dramatic and crazy like that.
But of course.
When you're doing just like a picture of the valley and with houses, you know, it's
Like
it does take a little bit of figuring out to zone in the framing and to really because it's it's cool. We all take like the everyday life photos, landscape stuff where it's like anybody can do it, but not everybody can do it where it's beautiful, you know.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm very proud that a majority of my shots on the feed is California. But sometimes people ask me, where is this? They don't know that's California. So it's kind of like going back to kind of like what Chris, what you said, like, I want to live, you want to live in my photos in California, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, it's just spots that you would not, it's not like a go-to spot. Like Death Valley or like Yosemite. I mean, it's just these quaint towns, just a little like a random house I found in the middle of nowhere or something. That really kind of makes it even more special that like I am very appreciative that I now have this eye that I can appreciate these things that I, you know, if I was in my digital era, I would have been like, I'm just driving right past it. No brakes.
See ya.
Maybe even increase my speed more to get to where I want. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy to think about it like that. Like where our style like takes us, you know, like we used to be here and now it's zoned in a little closer. I used to like break into abandoned buildings back in the East Coast. Like I've been in like abandoned, like insane asylums and stuff. Like when you're talking about that,
I used to
like,
love that stuff back in the day.
Yeah, like
I was on helipads. You were in abandoned asylums.
Yeah, they were creepy too. They were like the beds were there. Yeah, I was. It was.
Oh,
it was
my
nuts.
Gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Ghost hunting was a big thing back when I was younger in my like 20s and stuff. I remember we would always do the same thing. Hop fences, go into the scariest places. Be so, and I wasn't even taking photos. I was just going there for the thrill of it. I wanted to see a ghost. You know what I mean? I was like, I want to see, you know, Jason Voorhees here.
No.
Yeah.
That's how those horror movies get you, because you guys are always like, I was so curious what made that noise. I would be like running the opposite way.
And just how unsafe those places were too. Yeah. It was like walking on, you know, there's holes in the floor and we're come this way.
Oh,
and
no,
it's like
no.
We could have died. Like we're idiots.
And they were so cold in there too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No.
It's
yeah.
the ghost, Chris. That's why it was so cold.
I don't know if I can do it now. Definitely gosh. Not.
I mean, I could, but I'm kind of like a wussy these days, being scared that, like, you know, the cops are going to be called or something.
You never know.
All right, so the two-part camera question that we give our guest every show. So the first part is the desert island camera. I think I know what it's going to be. But it's the one camera
place your bets.
You cannot live without. Like it's your ride or
it's
die.
It's your baby forever.
What's it going to be and why?
It's my baby. I already called it my baby. It's the Mamiya 7. It's light. Come on. It's so light. It's beautiful. I mean, black and blue. I mean, I upgraded to the 7.2 for the aesthetics. And it makes me feel excited, so excited to shoot.
Yeah.
I think people, they always are like, you know, shoot with what you have. I agree. But sometimes it's good to shoot with what makes you feel excited to shoot, you know?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes, you know, Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, yeah, sitting there, right? Like, shoot with what you have. But if it doesn't make you feel excited, then let's change it. I mean, I changed it by getting a new camera or like trying out a new film stock. But for me, I mean, 2.5 years I've had this camera for, it's made me excited to go out every single time. And it's also like my right hand. It's like, I'm very comfortable with it. So if I were on a deserted island, you know, I got to get those exposures right.
Yeah.
I got to feel comfortable. So that is, yeah, that is my camera. Yeah.
Such a good one too. Like such a beautiful.
It is. I saved up for it for sure.
Oh yeah. We know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, you could tell that you love it too, because it's like also you photograph it sometimes. Which I thought was
like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like algorithm, you want some algorithm, I'll give it to you. Here you go. Wanna see my camera?
Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a beauty.
True.
It's a beauty. Yeah.
All right. So part two, I'm kind of interested to know this. It's the white whale camera. Is there anything that you kind of have your eye on that you're looking at right now that you're interested in buying and using and trying? Or are you okay with just the Mamiya 7.
Oh, wow. If you guys recorded this maybe like 2 weeks ago, there's this camera, but I bought it. So I told you guys I have to be excited, right? So,
yes.
I mean, so the white whale has been for a while the Pentax Auto 110 camera. Yeah,
the little tiny
camera. Yeah,
such a cool little camera.
That was my white whale, because I was like, I have such nice, sharp, crisp cameras, and sometimes it's good to just have fun with it and
get
go
gritty.
As grainy as you can, barely see photos. But so I got it, and I got it in like a safari color. It's like tan, brown. So it's so cute.
White whale caught.
Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah, white whale caught. Mine. I just caught mine.
Let's see. I'll go grab it.
They're such cute little cameras. You've seen them before.
I think I know what it looks like. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
So this is just the case. Look at.
Oh my goodness.
How
look
tiny.
At that case.
Yeah. And then I got it from a Japanese seller, so they included like a Japanese postcard and a little candy.
Oh, cool!
But look,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Look
color.
At that. Oh. Look at that.
I've never seen one
pretty.
Like that. Like,
right.
I love
it's
that.
So cute, and it makes loading film so easy. You just stick it right in. Yeah, pop it in. It even comes with the tiny slash that sits on top. It's so cute.
Oh,
and you can actually
so cool.
change the lens on this. I mean, wow, they really thought it through.
They really did.
Yeah, this was my white whale for a very long time. I just was like, you know, treat myself. So I did it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shout out to CC Liu.
I love
CC
like,
Liu.
That's what I was like.
Oh,
wait.
Yeah. She's been.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, exactly. That's what
didn't hers like not work? Her first one like didn't work or something like that, right?
Oh yeah. She has, I feel like she has so many 110 cameras now, but I think she got like the transparent version of this camera.
Yeah.
And that's why it didn't work. But I was so inspired by her and her like her interviews and reels. And so I got it.
I mean, how could you not?
She's
incredible.
I love her. Yeah.
I have yet to meet her, but CC Liu, I'm coming for you.
Yes. We're all coming for you.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
Yes.
Amazing. I love that it's like opposite of your Desert Island cameras, like completely big to like teeny.
Exactly. I was like, I could go even bigger, like than you said, large format, right?
I feel like just the way you explain your shooting process is like, it sounds like when I'm out shooting my 4x5, I'm like, it's 30 minutes a shot. I'm not pressing that button until I'm damn sure that.
Right.
I've seen my friends take their sweet time on photo walks with it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But images blow me away every time. So
crazy.
Seriously. Maybe you'll talk to me in 6 more months and that'll be my new white whale. Uh-huh. And
love it.
I have two 4x5 cameras by that time.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Man, anything else, Chris?
No, I'm yes, this has been such a fun conversation.
Oh, very fun, guys. Yes.
And
thank you. Well,
big fans of your work. Can't wait to see where you go next. Where can everybody check you out? What's your Instagram?
Tell people. Yes. So you guys can find me at Instagram at Hannah Films. The first A is spelled with a four. So Hannah Films. Yes. Cool. But yes, thank you, Timothy. Thank you so much, Chris. You guys are the best. This was so fun. This is so, so fun.
Yay.
And Happy New Year to everyone
Happy New Year, guys.
This is the first podcast of the year.
Yes.
Love it.
Hopefully,
love many more.
yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yay.
All right. First off, Kristen, I would love to thank Hannah for coming on the show. What a way to kick off the season. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It was great getting to hear your story, talk all about the process. Man, you said some really great talking points in there and just got us fired up. What a great way to start the season. Thanks so much, Hannah. We love what you're doing. Keep us posted in the future. Guys, it's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for only $1. You can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only development hang nights over there, and a bunch of stuff in the archives. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For the Patreons that already helped support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. Thank you so much. All right, we're back. New season, new episodes. Man, it feels good to be back. Feels good to be back. Super stoked, and guys, we'll see you next week with an all-new episode. Take care. Later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.